Thank you, Daryl. Thank you very much for coming to the seminar. I'm from Oklahoma State. Started there in June of 2012, and I have a heavy teaching appointment. I have an 85% teaching appointment, so I teach 6 soul science courses. But I have that 15% extension appointment as well. So the first thing that I did is I went around Oklahoma and talked with our extension educators. So, hey, when was the last time that you had your soul science course, a basic soul science course? And the response that I got was like 15 years all the way to 35 years. So I thought, hey, maybe you could use some refresher course in soul science. And so we proposed to have an extension, refresher soul science course for extension educators. And they need some credits for in-service training anyway. So when we decided to do this, we asked our extension educators, among the people who come to you for soul science questions, what do they ask you about? And they told me that, hey, they ask me about questions that relate to agriculture and soul science questions that pertains to environmental concerns. So, okay, let's make a refresher course that is designed for agriculturists and environmental professionals. Now, the next challenge was to identify what topics are going to be included in it, considering that a basic or fundamental soil science course is 16 weeks long, and of course it covers, 16 chapters. So, after a couple of meetings with our extension educators, we settled on certain topics, and let me begin with topics that are covered for a refresher course for agriculturists. And we said, hey, we have to start with the basics. Here's some definitions and boundaries. We have to talk about, remind them of the soil functions to reignite the passion of, within them to protect the soil resource. And you cannot manage the soil without looking at, or making good decisions about the soil without looking at, the soil profile. And when you characterize the soil profile, you have to be familiar with certain properties that you need to be looking at. But before you go to the field and characterize soils, it's always nice to have some idea of what to find in there. So we reintroduced them to the Web Soil Survey. Web Soil Survey has been, evolving throughout the years, and some of them have not tried soil surveys, so we want to make sure that they know about it. And then we also talked about vital concepts that are necessary in proper soil management, like drainage class, soil reaction, and of course, ion exchange. And since this course is for agriculturists, we have to talk about soil nutrition. We remind them about our criteria for essentiality. We focus on nitrogen and phosphorus, because these are the two most limiting elements in most production systems. And we talked about assessment of soil fertility as well. I'm from Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma we have a lot of these problem soils, acid soils, and of course salt-affected soils, so we have to put them in there. Now, these are the topics that is covered, covered in that refresher course for agriculturists. For the course that is designed for environmental professionals, we kind of stuck with the first three chapters, but instead of discussing soil nutrition, now they might be more interested in where water goes, because where water goes, contaminants also go. We used the very, very famous 1956 video developed by Dr. Gardner, and still works. It shows you where water goes and how it moves depending upon the soil properties that you have in the subsurface. And then we talked about, these environmental professionals might be interested in the fates of contaminants. And we focus on, your classic and mainstream contaminants, nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria. When we say fates in here, we look at not just transformations, but what happens to them. Are they sorbed? Are they filtered? Do bacteria survive in certain conditions in the soil? And what soil properties do you need to look for to increase the likelihood that if you're applying wastewater or manure, you would treat bacteria and, of course, excess nutrients? So that is. These are our topics. The next question is how did we do it? Well, we decided that we're going to do a 6-hour course. These extension educators have to drive in and they have to go back to their stations before the end of the day. So we thought a 6-hour course would be sufficient. But before we start this, they come 8:30 in the morning, and then before we start the course, we asked them to provide us some idea of their level of recall of certain theoretical aspects in soil science. We ask them, how much is your degree of understanding right now prior to the course? About the three-dimensional boundaries of the soils, color characterization, all the way to the fates of nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria. So we ask them to provide us with some idea of their understanding and degree of recall of these theoretical concepts. And of course, the practical aspects as well. Do you still remember how to do the field method, the pH measurements? Have you done that? Can you explain that? all the way to, you know, have you demonstrated the effect of residue quality and decomposition rate? For these practical and theoretical aspects, we told them to, hey, kindly tell us if, you know, you totally forgot about it, say one. You heard the word, is number two. Three, if you can define it, you have a fair working understanding. Four, if you can define and explain it. And five, because these are extension educators, say five if you're confident enough that you can teach about it, that you can simplify it, that you can twist it to make your students think more deeply into it, that you can address questions, right? So for all those theoretical and practical aspects of cell science prior to the start of the course, we gave them a form and they tell us what is their degree of recall and understanding. Now, the goal at the end of the class is for everybody, you know, we want them to have a satisfactory understanding of those concepts. It's up to them to turn that satisfactory understanding into some teaching techniques, but at least we want them to leave with a, you know, solid understanding of those concepts. As I mentioned earlier, it's a six-hour course, starts at 8:30, ends around 3:30 in the afternoon. It involves 4.5 hours of classroom lecture and some group activities. We make sure that we tie those the lecture to some, you know, practical activities. So we have a 1 hour lab activities or demonstrations, and then we give them a tour, through the soil testing lab for 30 minutes. I'm going to talk about this 1 hour lab activities later on, but about this 4.5 lecture of classroom activities that involves a lot of slide A discussions. And you know, if you're familiar with extension educators, these guys don't want to sit long in their chairs, you know. So we want to make sure that they have hands-on activities. When we talk about soil color, we have to go to the monoliths. When we talk about soil drainage, they have to characterize soil drainage using the monoliths. When it's time to refresh them about the web soil survey, we go to the computer lab. We have a lot of videos. We make sure that the animation is somehow entertaining. Make a fool of myself sometimes to make them, you know, wake up, right? So that's the 4.5 hours of classroom lecture. How about the 1 hour lecture, a 1 hour lab demonstration? Let me show you what we did. Of course, we start with soil texture because that's the basic static soil property that everybody should have a good handle about. We show them samples of sand-silted clay. We let them feel when it's moist and when it's dry. And of course, we tell them that within the sand fraction, we actually, as soil scientists, we subdivide them from very coarse sand all the way to the very fine sand. Have them feel that, have them look at it, and now after doing that, so we remind them of how to do soil texture. And critical to the determination of soil texture, as we know, is making a good ribbon. So, we started them with Play-Doh. It's nice to see 60-year-olds having a blast playing with Play-Doh. And then after we're confident that they've already developed the skill to make a good ribbon, well, we give them known samples of soils of known textures. Then we use the Steve Dine model of doing soil texture determination. So this is one station in the lab. We go to another station where we do soil pH. We show them how things have to be, the electrodes have to be calibrated, show them how to make a soil suspension, how to take care and use the electrodes properly. And of course, if they're dealing with 4-H and FFA kids, this might not be appropriate and practical. So we show them that, hey, you can actually buy this paper dihydrion for, you know, a few amount of dollars, and it will provide you with some good information. After that, we go to another station to talk about soil charge and ion exchange. To demonstrate soil charge, we simply got a 12-volt battery. We have wires connected to the positive and negative terminals. We dunk those wires into a slurry of soil, and we prove that the soil is indeed negatively charged. Why? Because the soil is actually attracted to the wire that is attached to the positively charged end. Simple ways of showing them, simple ways of kind of connecting what they learn in the lengthy lecture into something that is tangible. And it works, at least we think it did. To demonstrate effects of texture and soil charge, we got a clay soil and a sandy soil, put them into a simple sort of beaker, we add a dye. The coloring agent, this dye, is positively charged. We mix them and then we filter them. Well, this is the filtrate for clay. It shows us that the clay is indeed has a higher CEC because it was more effective at holding on to the positively charged active ingredient in the dye. Again, simple, fast demonstrations that they can hold on to. Hydraulic conductivities, everybody knows that sands would pass water more effectively than clays. Everybody knows that. When we ask students, you know that sands pass water more effectively than clays, but how big a difference are we really talking about? So to address that question, we have to do this demonstration. We have here a cylindrical core packed with sand, this one packed with clay. We maintain some level of ponding in between, above them, and after a minute, we show them that, hey, there's a lot of water underneath the sands, not a drop underneath the clay. And of course, we cheated here a little bit because we used a very highly expanding clay in it, and not a drop actually fell in there for the last hour. So just to show them that if you do not do texture characterization very well, you would have a lot of problems. Finally, we show them a demonstration about the effects of residue quality and decomposition rate. This is our setup. It's actually an airtight Erlenmeyer flask with some soils in it. Of course, it has some treatments. And then we moisten it, and when decomposition happens, oxygen is going to be used up, CO2 is going to be evolved, and CO2 is trapped by these alkali traps within the flask. And when that happens, there's development of partial vacuum in here. And when the partial vacuum is developed, water is going to be drawn up. Okay, the amount of water that is drawn up in these tubings will tell us the degree of decomposition that happens in these treatments. And now we can relate the decomposition rate with various treatments. And of course, this was prepared like around 4 days prior to the course. So very quick ones, things that we can do within an hour. We also demonstrated penetration resistance outside, and of course, simple analyses of nitrogen and phosphorus contents in soils. All right. After these demonstrations, we went back to the classroom, and of course, we asked them the same questions again. This would be your post-analysis. We asked them after the course to tell us their degree of understanding of those practical and theoretical aspects in soil science. Again, using the same descriptions in year one. Of course, nobody should totally forget about that after just 30 minutes, but tell us what their degree of understanding after the course. What did we find out? Well, this is the feedback from the course for agriculturists. All theoretical and practical competencies evaluated. Again, 1, not a clue. 5, I can teach about these things. Before, they vaguely remember it. And after the course, they say, hey, we already have satisfactory understanding. I would like to note that the average number of years since they took basic soils for these 19 people who took this course was 16 and a half years, so we were able to at least renew their memory into these concepts. If we separate the evaluations of the practical and theoretical aspects, this is for theoretical aspects, the key weakness among our students, ion exchange and fates of phosphorus in soils, the same areas of weaknesses for our basic soil science course. These are very difficult to imagine, and phosphorus, of course, facing the soil is fairly complicated. About the practical aspects, started very low. We are at 3.8. Again, our target here is 4, satisfactory understanding. Key weaknesses for practical aspects when a soil charge, a lot of them were not able to demonstrate soil charge before or see that happen before their eyes, and hydraulic conductivity. And this is for agriculturists. Let's go to the other course, which is designed for environmental professionals. Same thing, 1, not a clue, 5, I could teach about it. So they started very low, 2.5, and now we're able to meet our target of giving them some satisfactory understanding. What is interesting here is out of these 8 who participated in this course, only half of them actually had basic soil. So this is the first course for some of them, really, but they have some idea about soil science because, they do this and deal with these questions on a daily basis. The average number of years since they take, out of these 4 people right here, average number of years since they took a basic soils course was 10 years. Now, if we separate those people that have taken a basic soils course from those who have not, those who have taken a basic soils course started not so low, and they end up very, very well above our target. And for those who have not taken a basic soils before, very low, of course, as we would expect. We didn't meet our target of being close to 4, satisfactory understanding, but we were still pumped and tickled about it because we were able to improve their understanding of basic concepts about soil science, which to us was really cool. Other highlights, 70% of the participants liked the hands-on activities the most. All participants thought that the scope was appropriate for both courses. 20% thought the pace was fast. Of course, we were, you know, squeezing in the soul science semester into 6 hours. It has to go through very fast. And they do want the same for crop science, and they reminded me always that make sure that don't coffee keeps them just, you know, coming in like rain. And of course, don't forget the donuts. That's it. Thank you very much.